Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Barkley to the left of Hurts on first down. Hurts, quarterback draw. He's at the five. He is in for the touchdown. Jalen Hurts.
Eagles going to the Super Bowl. They'll face the Chiefs. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yeah, Jalen Hurts' knee looked better than it has in maybe 2 years. He was supposed to be injured. He looked fine. You have to be feeling pretty confident, Pearl. You're Philadelphia Eagles back to the Super Bowl, yeah. And you get a... possibly get some revenge on those Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you could squint and see this as a better team than the team that lost a close game to the Chiefs. They had Jalen Carter on the front line. He's a weapon that they never had. And, of course, Saquon Barkley. I had a tweet yesterday. I'm starting to rethink my preseason take that using salary cap space on a running back was a mistake.
Want to take that back?
I'm thinking that maybe the Saquon deal was a smart move.
Yeah. He may go down as one of the greatest athletes in the history of the city, but yeah.
Great. Well, I thought you were saying greatest free agent signing in the history of the NFL. I heard that a lot yesterday. I can't argue against it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do that as a great debate some other time. But yeah, I think that for the Eagles, you do have a better team. I just don't know how anyone is confident going into a game against the Chiefs. I really don't. And I'm not just saying this because my team is the Buffalo Bills and they lost yet again and they're 0-4 now against the Chiefs in this Mahomes, Josh Allen era. But how does anyone walk in and think, oh, I've got the recipe, I've got the formula? You don't. And the reason is because the Chiefs play the best when they need it. And they've got these plays that I think they really keep all year long. And I think Steve Spagnuolo, not to just flip and make this about the AFC right now, but there was a 4th and 5 that was felt like not the ball game, but pretty close. And the Chiefs snuffed out a Bills drive because Steve Spagnuolo sent a defensive blitz that just confused the hell out of Josh Allen, who's been in this league for 8 years. They always save their best stuff for last.
I will say, and also Dan Quinn got some blitzes on Jalen Hurts. That was one of the only things that worked for the Commanders' defense. So that's an interesting subplot. But I have to tell you, I was watching the Bills Chiefs, and I kept thinking to myself, oh my God, these teams are so conservative. Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator of the Eagles, is going to have a field day. They're not, to me, and I see this Chiefs team, like this is not a team with two options. They have... Well, there are two options, to run the ball or short pass. I didn't see any vertical game whatsoever. Maybe they get Kelce down the seam, but I actually thought, whoa, neither team is really scaring me what I'm seeing. I know about the magic with Mahomes in a close game, but what you saw on the field there was like, wow, two teams were scared to throw the ball downfield.
Okay, but it's so effective, though.
But not against a great, great defense where you don't have a full arsenal to go downfield. I think that, of course, the Chiefs might be able to, they might have that in reserve.
Yeah.
But did you see, basically, like, both defenses are just creeping up the line, By the end of the game, there were 10 Chiefs right by the line of scrimmage on every play.
Yeah, and it was effective, and it worked.
That means that Bills didn't want to throw downfield.
Well, I think what happened is, and to just, kind of diagnose everything that went wrong for Buffalo, to me, was everything that went wrong on that last offensive drive. The defense did what they had to do, which was the Chiefs had a 1st and goal, and they held them to a field goal. That's as good as you can get. Maybe it's not stopping them completely, but you'll take that, right? You'll take that. All you have to do is get into field goal range, and the Bills couldn't do that because they went away from what had been working, which was James Cook. And you say that they didn't want Josh Allen to throw. He can throw when they set up the run. It just opens everything. And for some reason, at the end of these games, and I'll say games plural because I've seen this happen this year, last year, something is working for the Buffalo offense, and then they go away from it in the final drive when it matters the most. And the Chiefs never do that. They never lose who they are. They always just stick to the plan. And then also Patrick Mahomes was running the ball yesterday, and if he decides to use his legs and 2 rushing touchdowns, like, good night.
Okay, the
and
last
it still was a 3-point win.
The last four plays, did Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator of the Bills, did he scheme two guys open?
Yeah, I guess you just want to, you know, one was a drop slash maybe the throw was a little low.
That was a good play call.
To Curtis Samuel. And then the other was Khalil Shakir was open on the left side, but the pass rush got to Josh Allen, the blitz rather, and it forced him to his right.
And Allen admitted he screwed up his pre-snap read. He just should have looked one more time. It's a chess match at this level. Again, though, I mean, what's going on? You're not going to get pass interference down the field if you never, ever, ever throw it. I was shocked. There was one play where Mahomes just let it rip to Hollywood Brown, almost made a catch, probably could have gotten pass interference. I was like, whoa, where's that play? Well, I'm glad they don't do that a lot. I think if they do that against this Eagles team, if they play so one-dimensional, it's not going to work. They have to open it up a little bit.
Okay, talking about everything we saw from Championship Sunday, but here's the thing. There is no way a team can go into Arrowhead or the Super Bowl, a neutral site, and think you're getting calls against the Chiefs. And I'm not saying that's why they won, but I can't leave that to chance that you're going to get a bunch of DPI calls, defensive pass interference calls, because I saw two calls in the game yesterday that I thought were egregious.
Yeah.
The first was the catch slash interception between Xavier Worthy and Cole Bishop that led immediately to a first and goal and to a Chiefs touchdown. I don't know how in the world that is a catch in today's NFL. 1978, sure, that's a catch. Not today. Not with us looking at every single pixelated, and you don't even need to zoom in. Guy's got one hand on the ball, and it hits the ground. When is that possession ever?
Yeah, but for some reason, all the officiating experts always say it can hit. You always hear, it can hit the ground as long as the ball doesn't move. So there is a precedent. They always say that. And I always think that's kind of ridiculous. Because you could argue the ball did not move when it hit the ground.
Okay.
They say that's a catch. I always think it's not a catch.
But they never actually award that
catch. Yeah, they don't usually award it.
No,
you're right.
And then the other was the fourth and one. And this was at the beginning of the fourth quarter, so maybe more important, more impactful. Beginning of the fourth quarter, and it's fourth and one. And Josh Allen, another QB sneak that they decided to run, QB keeper, whatever you want to call it. And he gets stood up on a fourth and one. Chiefs take over on downs. They go and score another touchdown. I think in Buffalo, you tweeted it, and I agree with you. If that game's in Buffalo, that call goes Buffalo's way. And I just would, I don't even know if the Bills would have won the game. I just wanted to see what life would have been like if they gave Josh Allen that fourth and one, which he definitely got, and the drive gets to continue. He could have thrown an interception on the next pass. We have no idea. I just wanted to see it.
Okay, I'm probably delusional here. I think the Eagles could get the benefit of the calls if they're the more aggressive team. Honestly, to cover
on offense or defense?
On offense. I think if they're aggressive offensively, because what'll happen is the Chiefs are going to have a lot of guys up front trying to stop Saquon Barkley. That means A.J. Brown one-on-one down the field. A.J. Brown's so big, cornerbacks just interfere with him all the time. Just being in his aura, I think if they're aggressive down the field passing, they'll get that call. These officials always award the more aggressive team. Now, you're right. Am I confident about that? No. But I think they can push that Chiefs defense in a way the Bills weren't even interested in.
The line opened up, what, Chiefs minus 1.5?
Yeah.
Chiefs are slight favorite now in the Super Bowl. And again, we've got 2 weeks to break this down. I'm curious from the audience, is this the matchup you guys wanted?
Oh, yeah. Of course. There's so many Eagles fans out there, and everybody just can't get enough of this Chiefs team. Are you being serious with that question? You know the answer.
Okay, the only reason why I ask this is because there was an era, and it was like when I was a little bit younger, where every Super Bowl was a blowout.
Right, right.
And I know my Buffalo Bills contributed to that, so save your jokes, everybody. But there were just, it was so many lopsided Super Bowls, and then I want to say because of the Patriots always played close Super Bowls.
Yep.
All of a sudden, we've gotten some really nail biters last year with the overtime, and Kansas City and Philly gave us a great Super Bowl.
Yep.
So why wouldn't we want that? If you're a neutral fan, if your team is no longer, you know, near it, wouldn't you just want a good game?
No. You know the answer to that. People are tired of Kansas City and Taylor Swift. Nobody likes the Eagles fans because they're so brash. This is a nightmare matchup for neutral fans, probably. I would imagine, maybe I'm overestimating the hatred. We know about the Chiefs backlash. You know, it's funny. We came away from this game. I don't feel like those two calls that the Chiefs got, the fourth down call and the catch, non-catch, Those were not the egregious ones. At least they did not call roughing on Patrick Mahomes.
They did not, but there was really no reason to, because yeah, the Bills pass rush never got home. We've got a couple poll questions out there for you at Maggie and Pearl on X. Who do you blame for the Bills' loss to the Chiefs? Is it the players? Is it the refs? Is it the coaches? Or were the Chiefs just better? 44% said the Chiefs are just better. Yep. I would say better, but also poised. I think they have the poise at the end. We talked about Jayden Daniels. That was the biggest word, poise, poise. The Chiefs are real poise.
Well, are they poised or are they just better? I mean, do they have better players? They do. They're really healthy right now. They're really putting the Bills, those couple injuries in the back four were a big, big deal.
Massive. Then we have another question. Is Josh Allen being let off the hook for the Bills' loss to the Chiefs? Yes, he deserves blame. No, he did all he could do. 75% say no, he did all he could do.
Of course.
EJ, I know you are not happy with the results of that poll. You think Josh Allen should be getting the slings and arrows.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, at the end of the day, he played a good game. He's a great player. Again, I think he should have been the league MVP. But I think when we talk about this game, we can't say, well, if it was 12 seconds or somebody missed a field goal. Because maybe talk about a drop, but I mean, it was fourth down. He's throwing a Hail Mary. It's a tough play. At the end of the day, Josh Allen had the ball, only needing a field goal to extend that game, and he could not get his team past the 50-yard line. I think to we can talk about the refs and all that other stuff, but I think to ignore that, I think we're missing a big part of this game. Like, this is a guy that had the ball in his hands, the opportunity to finally put the nail in the coffin in the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And he did not get it done. It's simple to me.
You don't think that the coaching staff bears responsibility on that? For not having James Cook on the field, let alone the ball in his hands to help Josh out?
At the end of the day, though, he's Josh Allen. I mean, what we're talking about, it's like we need James Cook on the field so that Josh Allen can score? Like, no. Like, he's the guy that is he's the straw that stirs the drink. Just stirs the drink. He's the league MVP, potentially, or second place, I guess. He's the best player on the Bills. Like, he had the chance to get it done, and in those positions, I just feel like I know Patrick Mahomes is getting past the 50-yard line. Like, I just know it.
Well, it's 32-29. Why aren't you putting it on the defense on a score like that? Just if you think about 10 years from now, no one's going to look back and say Josh Allen screwed up that game. And we say, the Chiefs couldn't be stopped.
I mean, but they did stop them from getting a touchdown.
Like, but you're holding a quarterback to this perfect level. Like, it's not he scored perfect. A lot of points against the great defense.
It's not perfect. It's you had the chance with the ball in your hand. You scored already 29 points. It's not like, oh, you were stopped all game and you were playing against the 85 Bears. You were moving the ball all game. So you had a chance with the ball in your hands, and you got one first down, then you went four and out after that. Like, I just think that most quarterbacks, when we're judging them on these situations, if you don't only get one first down in that situation, we would be saying, hey, you didn't get it done.
You know, I think as time goes on, I think that Josh is going to get more and more probably of the blame. Let's hear from Josh Allen. Crediting the Chiefs for that defensive call on the fourth down, said he didn't read it correctly.
Yeah, they gave a good look. Didn't see anything in my first cadence. They were sliding left. Corner came. Yeah.
Okay, more from Josh. Says he's got to watch the film to see what went wrong, but he knows, and we all do, Bills came up short.
I mean, that's hard to tell right now until we watch it. I'm not quite sure, but the result is a loss. And so to answer your question, not good enough.
Okay, and on the flip side, here's Andy Reid saying the Chiefs play their best in the tight moments.
They didn't waver at all, and that's how they've been. I mean, you know that from training camp. I mean, they've got this personality where they know how to bear down. They know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
They found the sweet spot. Like, they've found it.
Yeah.
And it's not even like they're sneaking into the playoffs here. You know, like 15-2 this year. Like, they know when to bear down. Like, this is that's a season most teams would kill for.
I disagree on what, going back one point. I think history will not blame Josh Allen. I think history will say Josh Allen had no one around him. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be the
narrative. For this specific team.
Yes.
This
yes,
year.
Yeah.
You this can't specific, say that in years past.
Right, right. But you said that as time goes on, more blame will come on Josh Allen for this game. I think it's going to be the narrative, fair or not, is that Josh Allen was lifting a bunch of, what do you always say, EJ? Plumbers?
Farmers and plumbers.
Or plumbers and firemen, yeah.
Firemen, yeah. Usually it's one of those three.
I think they're going to look at this and say, wow, they didn't build the right team this year around them. They got to give them some more talent. And Maggie, I hate to say it, we were just looking at the free agent class. I don't know where that talent's coming from.
For wide receivers,
yeah.
Yeah, they got a couple holes to fill. Again, this was supposed to be like a bit of a rebuild season for the Bills, but it doesn't make the sting any harder. 855-212-4227 or make the sting any duller. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Dulling the sting. The sting is harder. Anyway.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Rough day.
But it should. It should. If you think about it, if they're going to use all that cap space from the rebuild to put more talent around Josh Allen, I think maybe this is just the beginning. He's 28, Maggie.
Just the beginning? What are you talking about? He's 7 years in.
Michael Jordan didn't win until he was 27 or 28.
Yeah, I know. A little bit different in the physicality of both of those sports,
Peyton Manning, very similar to both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
That's true. 855-212-4227. If you're going to blame someone for the Bills' loss, who is it? Or are the Chiefs just better? I think the coaching staff has a lot of regrets, quite frankly, and I think the refs didn't do a great job. But I don't want to sound like sour grapes. Meanwhile, Perloff's team's going to the Super Bowl.
Go Birds!
Yep. Got 2 weeks of pure joy. But I've been negative on the team, so I'm going to stay kind of negative. Although I have to be honest, I like this matchup, Maggie.
Do you? All right.
Yeah, I just think that the way the Chiefs played on Sunday, they were really taking advantage of a lot of Bills' weaknesses. I think if the Bills were fully healthy, we would have had a different game. Like, can they pull these shenanigans on the Eagles?
We'll talk about it more in a moment. 855-212-4227. Give us your thoughts. Today is about you and getting your reaction to these games and, being along for the ride. I did appreciate how many people reached out yesterday when the team lost. Boomer Esiason came in, a former league MVP, gave me a Bills helmet. Brand new. There we go. Up for the live stream. I mean.
The Bills make me wanna.
All right, still too soon, Manny. Still too soon.
Oh, I have a question for you, Maggie. Are you the kind of person where if your team loses, you actually want to hear from your friends being like, hey, we saw that happen. Like, I'm the opposite. I mean, you've been saying that all morning, and I'm like, I didn't text you or do anything because I'm like, I don't think Maggie wants to hear from anybody. But it sounds like you actually enjoyed hearing that.
It did feel, it felt like people were kind of like grieving with me, which I appreciated. No, I like to hear from people. But you know what's funny, and now do I think about it, would I have reached out to Perloff if your Eagles had lost and been like, hey, get him next year, big fella? I don't know that I would have. I don't think you would have appreciated that.
I'm not going to lie, the 10-minute delay between my welfare check text message kind of had me in a... threw me for a loop.
That was a little harrowing.
Oh, because it took me 10 minutes to respond?
Yeah. Well,
back to you, though.
I've worked with Maggie a little longer than you guys, so I know the whole routine at this point of the Bills playoff loss.
Go ahead, please.
No, it's pretty much like this.
There was one year where she blamed herself because she went away from making homemade wings or something. There was some logic there.
I was spiraling.
Yeah. No, I think you nailed it perfectly with what you put out on social right after the game. It was just the saddest face I've ever seen in my life.
I just couldn't hide it. And I was thinking about it. I could have just eaten, like, we have this kind of gallon of ice cream that's in my freezer.
For emergencies like this?
Yep. I almost did it, too. But the thing is, if I had started, I would have never stopped, and then the whole gallon would have been gone.
It was my first foray into Bills Mafia. I don't think I can do that one.
Well, I mean...
Oh, rooting against Chiefs?
Were we really invited to the party, Jay?
No, I crashed the party. Yeah. I was not invited. But again, I gave my spirits to Josh Allen and Maggie Gray. But that was brutal. And Maggie's like, that was like, fourth or fifth worst loss ever. And I'm like, yeah.
Does it even make the Mount Rushmore? I don't know if it does.
No.
You know who reached out to say they were sorry? Angela, the tarot card reader.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's her fault.
Well, if you really would have been a good friend, you could have told me it was coming. To be fair, she did. But she was vague. Like, I asked her if the Bills were going to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, and she said no. But she didn't tell me they were going to be tied with 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter and that all of a sudden the team was going to go away from James Cook. Like, that's the kind of knowledge I needed. I needed a little more detail. I appreciate the tarot card reader reaching out to say how sorry she was.
Can I tell you right now, if the Bills had scored, the Chiefs were going to score. If there was any, it didn't matter. I mean, you couldn't stop Mahomes at all yesterday, so stop with this James Cook stuff.
855.
The better team won.
212-4227. All right, so we got a Super Bowl matchup. Are you excited about it? Philly and Kansas City again. It's Maggie and Perloff.
E-L-V-S-V-S, Eagles! Go Birds!
All right, Maggie, I got some good news. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show.
Really?
According to ESPN's FPI, Football Power Index, Philadelphia Eagles have a 56.2% of winning over Kansas City, who's at 43.8.
That's good news for me?
No.
Oh, right.
It's good news for Philadelphia Eagles fans. I'm not surprised. On paper, the Eagles are a great matchup here. Of course, when you play the Chiefs, on paper doesn't mean a darn thing. What means something is the fourth quarter and that guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Wait, so the Football Power Index says they have a
56.2,
but the odds in Vegas says Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite?
Yep. That's not a surprise. The story says, while sportsbooks around the country believe the Chiefs are a slight favorite, ESPN's FPI doesn't agree. I mean, listen, there's a magical power to Patrick Mahomes. We're all aware of this. But right. If you actually look at the numbers, if you get that Jalen Hurts that you had on Sunday in the Super Bowl, and you have Saquon Barkley, I think the Eagles have, football-wise, a great chance to feel like they can beat this team. Now, I don't know what that... You know what I'm talking about, that thing that Patrick Mahomes has, that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, he always comes up the biggest in the biggest moments. My question for Philadelphia on this side of it is, will you finally like Jalen Hurts now? Like,
no.
Will you finally trust this guy?
Did you see him up on the podium on the celebration? Again, like...
What about him?
He just is so reserved. It's unbelievable. Like, everybody's on top of the world, and he's completely professional. Don't get me wrong, but he just didn't even seem happy.
See, this is why you can't win. This is why you can't win. Jalen Hurts, who had an injured knee, plays amazing yesterday. He's running all over the field. He's got the Commanders, the defenders chasing him. And because he wasn't happy enough on the podium, now he hasn't silenced the doubters. I tell you, if the flip side was true, and if he was celebrating like so exuberantly and way over the top, you'd be like, come on, man, we still have another game to win. Like, you'd kill him for that.
It's not killing him or not killing him. I just don't think people connect with Jalen Hurts. I think he keeps off to himself. I just don't think... You see Travis Kelce up there, everyone loves him. You see Lamar Jackson, everybody adores him. Just nobody feels that way about Jalen Hurts. They respect his game, but they don't... He's a hard athlete to love. He's really hard to connect to. You don't see that? He's just so... quiet or something. I don't know what's going on. It's like nothing. It's like whatever everyone else is thinking. He's got his own track going on. You guys like Jalen Hurts? Like, man, I want to hang out with Jalen Hurts.
I mean, he's a little quiet, but what is that? I'd rather have that than a guy who's, you know, like, I don't want to say here. Who do I want to say? Like Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Not like out there being kind of like a clown.
I hear you, but who do you, if you're a fan, who do you love more, Saquon Barkley or Jalen Hurts?
I don't know. I mean,
come on. You like Saquon Barkley times 1,000. Everybody loves Saquon Barkley, right? Why would you not? Nobody feels that way about Jalen Hurts.
Is Saquon like this, like, happy-go-lucky guy?
Saquon is the greatest interview. Saquon came in the league at an A-plus interview. He's amazing.
Right, but he's not, like, jovial. That's my point.
Yeah.
No, Saquon is a positive force, and he connects with people. He's a great interview. Jalen is very much seems like an isolationist to me. And I'm not saying that it's a negative or a positive, but you don't really think, like, does Jalen look like he's close with his teammates?
Well, we also have a little reporting to show that he's not. If we didn't know at all that he had issues with A.J. Brown or if he had issues with Nick Sirianni, maybe we'd look at him differently. Because I think the first time Jalen Hurts went to the Super Bowl, I think he had a lot of fans.
Eagle fans loved him now.
I think you guys are ready to get rid of him for Tanner McKee.
He's just very stoic. I think that is the issue.
I think people like that usually from a QB. 855-212-4227. Let's go to our pal Nick in Texas. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. Well, it's time to put that loyalty to the test. But first, shout out to the weedos and coffee drinkers, especially the OGs Daily and our Delta B that are always in the chat.
Love those guys.
Time of year. It's that time of year. We got that photo from the last time that we had this bet, Eagles versus the Chiefs. Think it's time for the redemption pie bet number 2.
Okay.
Pearl, are you in to take these Eagles versus the Chiefs?
Yes.
We'll let Maggie have the Chiefs.
Oh, well.
Okay, so this is the photo of the great illustration that Nick gave us. There's two of them here, actually. Perloff has one with the chili, the
chili
cowboy hat full of chili that we dumped on your head. This one that sits in front of my laptop. I love it, Nick. This is one of the best gifts that we've ever gotten. It's me seconds before I pie Perloff in the face. And that was after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl.
Wow, it's the widest smile I've ever seen you have.
It was a great day for me personally.
Yeah, I'll do a rematch. Are you in, Maggie? I'll take the Birds. You could have the Chiefs.
Oh, can we do two pies though? Let's double down. Double pies.
Double down.
Yeah, I mean, once you have one pie, then two really doesn't matter.
Stain on the face.
Pie and also the chocolate syrup. Nah, let's just do the pies.
Well, actually, Maggie, why don't you share with Nick Zach Gelb's idea?
Oh, right. So Zach Gelb, who hosts the time slot we used to be in, the afternoon show, said if it had been Bills and Eagles, the loser would have had to have a baptism by either Cheese Whiz or Blue Cheese.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's tough either way.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, logistically, where do we get all that blue cheese?
He said that he would get it, and he would bring it in, and he would help dump it over our heads. It's like, wow, how generous of you.
Zach Gelb's the only person who loves blue cheese more than Maggie, I think. I've talked to him about this a lot. He loves blue cheese.
Yeah, he does. Well, but he's a Patriots fan, so he can never be honorary Bills Mafia.
I mean, you would smell like blue cheese for weeks afterward.
Probably.
Or I would in this case.
And that's a great smell. It smells like a foot.
The blue cheese is definitely worse than the Cheese Whiz. See, the blue cheese is like funky. Yeah.
The Cheese Whiz would look, and I keep on bringing up Game of Thrones when they poured molten gold over that guy's head and he died.
It'd be just like that.
Yeah.
No, we'd have to go room temp.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Cheese Whiz, you might want to make it a little warmer so it pours better. Room temp. It's going to be just like a block of cheese hitting you in the forehead.
Well,
you get concussed.
Listen, I guess thank the Bills or thank the Chiefs because we don't get that baptism now. Unless you'd like to do a Cheese Whiz baptism as our bet.
We've already done the pies. I think we consider cheese. Nick, what do you think?
How am I getting roped into this? My team lost. I'm feeling all down in the dumps today, and now I might have to get Cheese Whiz on the head?
Yeah, that Cheese Whiz stuff sounds a little entertaining, kind of like the buffalo sauce that we did. But I'm a little curious on how we would get that cheese melted nicely without burning you and pulling it over your head.
Yeah, I mean, this is for a physicist or a scientist. Will the Cheese Whiz pour well enough if it's not heated to a certain degree?
I mean, do you need a physicist or you need like Vinny from Philadelphia just who works at Pat's or Geno's to tell you?
A cheesesteakologist?
I'm sure you got a
Bradley Cooper.
Dozens of
Bradley Cooper right around the corner with his cheesesteak shop.
Mm-hmm.
I saw he got on the set.
Like this.
Yeah.
Zach Gelb had the idea, so if he can figure out a way that we can pour it over your head, I'm in. Otherwise, our backup could be the blueberry pie to the face.
All right.
Blueberry pie.
Nick, you're always thinking and always thinking about the show. We appreciate that. It's almost coming up on Nick's time of year, too, because we'll have Pearl Jam season 4?
4?
Oh, my God, I know.
For the NCAA tournament.
We all have to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Nick, thank you so much for checking in, dude. Can always count on you. Bogish has headlines for us. There's a lot happening today. Let's go.
At least they didn't lose in the Super Bowl again. The Bills bowing out in the AFC title game 32-29 in Kansas City yesterday. Sean McDermott yet to solve the Chiefs when it matters in January.
Well, they're a good football team. They've won two Super Bowls. They've been to 7 straight AFC championship games, and that's no excuse. This is a good football team. We got to keep working to get over that hump. There's no doubt about it.
4 of the Bills' last 5 seasons have now ended at the hands of the Chiefs, who are the first team to actually get to the Super Bowl with a chance for a three-peat. Patrick Mahomes threw a touchdown, ran for 2 others yesterday, while the KCD stopped the Bills twice on 4th down in the 4th quarter. Here's the QB on making it to the end again.
That was a great football team that we played. And so for us to go through the season and win the games the way that we won them, I'm proud of the team. But like you said, we're not to the ultimate goal yet, and this will be a great challenge for us with Philadelphia.
the bad news for most of America is that those Eagles did make the Super Bowl again. They're waiting on the Chiefs in Super Bowl 59 after scoring 55 in a 32-point rout of the
Commanders.
Yes, they climbed light posts in Philly last night. One guy brought with him a copy of the book A.J. Brown's been reading on the sidelines. All of that after Philly ran for 7 touchdowns and took the ball away 4 times. The Eagles didn't have Saquon Barkley when they lost to the Chiefs 2 Super Bowls ago.
I bought into this culture. I bought into this organization. And, you know, I know how those guys felt. So I'm going to make sure I do everything in my possible, in my capability and my ability that, well, same thing won't happen again.
I'm sorry. Can I bring something up? So A.J. Brown was reading Inner Excellence, and he said, no, I read these books on the sideline all the time. Since then, have you seen him read at all? You don't think the cameras, one of the 50 cameras, would be on A.J. Brown to say, like, hey, he's reading again?
Since then, it's been 62 minutes of football action. It's not like it's been that many games.
Well, I'm just saying. Maybe. He acts like he's reading Rainbow on the sideline, like, you know.
Maybe he's like me and he doesn't know how to read.
I think.
Well, then what were we doing the first time?
He obviously exaggerated reading every game. I think he reads a lot, but not every time.
Guys, just let it get it out. She just has to, everyone's
never seen it.
It just has to come out today. We're all targets. A.J. Brown doesn't read it enough. just nod and say, you're right, Maggie. That's a good point. He's a fake.
No, don't placate me.
Good point.
Well, there's this weird narrative that A.J. Brown doesn't care if he doesn't get a lot of targets. They kept saying that yesterday. I'm like, that dude cares. I do not buy that for one second that he's happy to watch Saquon Barkley. Because I know, why, have you ever seen a wide receiver who isn't obsessed with his own targets?
He didn't have to be yesterday. He had plenty of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that four-down conversion was the play of the game, no? The long pass on the sideline.
The one that
game
all the Commanders fans told me was a hold.
Where? By him?
No. They said that the Eagles got a big hold on somebody who was about to get hurt.
Yeah.
Dragged him out.
That was weak.
By the way, I'm sorry, one more call that we totally forgot about was that kickoff return by the Chiefs where pretty much every Bills player got blocked in the back.
Yeah.
Or
one guy got chopped. You saw his jersey stretch up his chest.
Yeah, it was like a...
Did they throw any flags?
No, they didn't throw any flags. They could have actually arrested somebody on that play. sorry, I'm just complaining for you. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, thanks. That makes me feel awesome.
Maggie, your thoughts on Chris Jones crying yesterday?
I thought maybe he got poked in the eye.
He definitely got poked in the eye. Or he maced. There's no way.
Maced?
Because there was no reason to cry. They showed him the headline. There were tears streaming down, and he's rubbing his eyes and talking to the coach.
He was crying the last game, though. That guy's crying all the time.
He cries during the anthem.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is.
Well, he came off. Was that a concussion then? I'm wondering what happened. Because he came off, and they didn't say what it is.
They said he lost his helmet. So I assume maybe he had to come off because his helmet came off. But that's a college thing. That's not an NFL thing, right?
So why was he crying?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, he got poked in the eye.
I thought so. And if he didn't,
why would he be crying
together,
in the third
Chris.
Quarter?
He was crying earlier in the game, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, he was crying. Like, he cries during the game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He does. I never noticed that.
But you would think that would be expending even more energy to be crying.
Oh, I mean, he definitely cried when the game was over. Like, when they got the ball back and they got that last first down, it was another cut to him, and he was in tears
well,
on the bench.
That you're going to the Super Bowl now. That's acceptable
he's
to
been
be crying.
Over.
It's already been. Yeah.
Who cares? You can cry multiple times. Did you cry when your second kid was born? Or
no,
just the first?
I didn't cry when either was born. I cried like a week later when I hadn't slept for 7 days. What do you mean? Did you guys cry when your kids were born?
I don't think I did.
Yeah. Is that a cry situation?
Well, now I'm wondering if my husband was crying. He probably wasn't, but I was.
No, why would you be crying? You're freaked out beyond belief. You're like, geez, what is happening here?
I think I don't have experience, but I think you guys are in the minority on this.
Yeah. I definitely was crying.
My dad has talked about crying when I was born. For
it's
sure.
such an incredible, crazy thing when you finally see your kid right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I was excited. I wasn't bummed, but I didn't cry. I don't remember being scared.
The ultimate cry is walking your daughter down the aisle for her wedding.
Yes.
You can get me to cry just talking about it right now.
I've come close. I don't think I cried at my wedding either, but I've come closer to crying watching them do things.
Yeah,
like at like
course.
School plays and stuff like that, or music, like that stuff gets me now.
Y'all are soft.
Wait, just wait, Manny. You're going to see your kid all of a sudden, you know, have the game-winning hit. It's going to be Waterworks.
Probably not.
Carlos the fourth, a step-back jumper in a fifth-grade CYO game?
Yeah,
look
out. That kid's going to be 5'4".
Yeah, I don't know if that's right, EJ. And by the way, about people crying when their kids are born, you have to understand, fathers, and you didn't see that, we're in sheer panic. I mean, it is terror what's going on. We don't know where to stand. We don't know if you're okay. We have no idea what's going on. It is a bad, bad
Thank
time.
You for keeping it to yourself.
Yeah, crying? Yeah.
Wait, what if you're, so you're going to cry when you walk Lucy and Emma down the aisle. I get that.
Yeah.
They're young now, but they will eventually do this. What if you don't like the guy? Are you going to be so fuming that you're not even going to be able to get the tears?
Different tears.
This is a terrible scenario.
I'm just asking a plausible the question.
A plausible one.
But why you do I not like the guy? Dude. What's wrong
well,
with
his name
him?
Is Manny.
and he's strangely
old for your daughter.
Wait, what's his problem?
He's way too old.
He's sniffing glue? What's wrong with Ken? What do you know that I don't know?
He's a Chiefs fan. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
He's Chiefsaholic. No, that's
what if
that's
I don't like him? Gosh. Don't ask Maggie questions about life the day after the Bills lose a playoff game. Her negativity is way too strong.
Yeah, no, now I got to think, man, is Andrea going to be crying because Andrea is marrying me or just because she's getting married?
You'll never know.
Manny Rodriguez.
EJ, it's like when you say wow and we're not sure if that's because you can't believe what just came out of our mouths or what.
EJ, do you think you're going to cry when you say I do?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I don't think so. I feel like I may cry during vows.
Yeah. Speaking, are you writing your own? You're writing your own?
Yeah. Like that long speaking, like I'm a little nervous about that, speaking in front of all those people.
You speak for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is like your feelings.
I got to be honest. Again,
speaking a little Jalen Brunson.
Again, it's not right a great
zero. Idea. Good there, idea, EJ.
There is so much logistics to handle that weekend. You're just going to be so obsessed. Like, oh man, Uncle Nick just texted me 10 minutes away, doesn't know where the church is. There is so much going on. You might not be able to embrace this emotion the way you think it. Bogus, you know what I'm talking about, or am I crazy here?
No, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You have a lot ahead of you, EJ.
My hope.
You think your rehab from your patellar knee tendon was complicated? Or did you plan a wedding?
Yeah, make a seating chart at a wedding.
Yeah. My hope is to turn my phone off and be like, all questions go to the wedding planner and the person of the day. Do not text me.
Oh yeah, that'll definitely work.
Yeah, if you turn your phone off the day of your wedding, it's also going to be the day of your divorce.
That's also
don't
like
do that.
That's a fallacy when your wife asks you a question about the wedding. Does she want your opinion? Does she not want your opinion? The answer is there's no right answer. You're dead.
The answer is sure.
Yeah, I love how you guys are like, man, the guy has it so tough for the wedding. I was spinning like a top off of the earth having to put together the amount of decisions I had to make. But sure, yeah, it was so tough for you. You had to show up.
But I think deep down, though, Maggie, you, as for Andrea, they want to make those decisions, though.
Like, yeah,
Yeah, exactly. Like Andrea doesn't want me being like, no, we actually, the drape should be here and the flowers should be here.
No, it depends. Like you said, you want some, you know, the music, some of that stuff. But as far as like
napkin color.
Yeah, how everyone's dressed, you know, who's sitting where, I guess you could help out with for your side. Yeah.
The first debate, the only debate we've had so far is circles, tables, or rectangle tables.
Yeah, that's a fine.
She's apparently a big fan of rectangles. And I was like, I think circles more
you guys are never going to make
like
it. I'm just kidding. This is the kind of stuff
rectangles?
You should be.
Rectangle tables at a wedding?
If you... It's not
a picnic. It's a wedding.
That's what I said.
If this is the stuff you're fighting over, not like, how dare you invite so-and-so, you're going to be fine.
But
the
real battle lines are drawn between the bride and the mother of the bride. That's where the heat comes. Forget you and the bride. You have no choice.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay out of that.
Yeah, the bride and her mom. Yeah, that's usually, in my experience and with my friends, that's where the real tension comes.
Yeah, I'm lucky my mom and I see the same everything the same way.
And also, your mom is amazing at this
caterer,
stuff.
But I would not get in the middle of a bride and her mom, a bride and the mother of the groom.
Oh,
just
keep
them in separate.
Groom's parents are supposed to have less
stratospheres.
Say. The groom's parents that traditionally do not have a lot of say, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of have to go along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, what's going to happen. We'll see, though.
Yeah, 855-212-4227.
We're just trying to distract you, Maggie.
Don't bring Sean McDermott in to plan this wedding. You never know how it's going to go.
You're sitting next to Sean McDermott at the wedding.
We are trying to keep your mind off what happened yesterday, Maggie. Did 3 minutes of relief there? Nothing?
The Bills make me wanna...
Still no, Manny.
McDermott wouldn't use EJ in his wedding. He's a backup.
room.
They'd be like, that's Jamar. You're actually going to be the guy at the aisle, my brother.
855-212-4227. No, you can't put me in a good mood today. None of your jokes are going to work. We'll see you guys on the phones. Oh, it looks like somebody wants to call in from the Chiefs side of things. Delightful. Get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Angie Perloff. Super Bowl matchup is set, and it's a rematch. Chiefs and Eagles, Perloff's Eagles, make it back to the big game. Exciting stuff for you. Tough day for me, but I'm getting through it. Steven is from Kansas City and wants to address all the Chief haters in the house. Good morning, Steven. Congratulations to your Chiefs.
Hey, Maggie, I feel you. But the consolation prize to me in this is I'm a sports fan overall, and the history of what we are seeing right now with this kid as our quarterback, I mean, it is crazy. I mean, the gauntlet that they ran this year alone mm-hmm. in the season, the quarterbacks that they beat, and then here's what's crazy, the two losses that they did, they still split with them. They went 500 against them to get there. And to go three, to possibly win three. But I reflected after this win. I was sitting there watching this and trying to absorb all this and thinking about things. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's been this close. He could have possibly been to 8 straight Super Bowls. I mean,
yeah.
D-Ford doesn't line up offside in the one against the Patriots. You know, they go to that Super Bowl. It's just crazy what we're watching in history. And I don't mind being the villain now. But I'm not. When the Patriots and Brady in their heyday, when they had the undefeated season, I wanted to see them win that Super Bowl. I wanted to see something that's never been done.
Yeah.
And that is a big deal if you're a sports fan to say that. Man, you can say all you want to. I think this is going to be the most watched Super Bowl in the history for the mere fact that people are going to want to see something, and then other people are going to want it to not happen. You know, the Chief haters aren't. So I think
Steven,
it's going to be.
You're right, man. Special. And congratulations to you, and I think you're totally right. First of all, it is mind-blowing to think that Mahomes could have gone to 8 straight Super Bowls. The loss to the Patriots, yes, would have been.
Is it a 7 or am
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, yeah, it would have been 7. 7 straight.
Unless he's assuming next year is going to happen, too.
Might
which
as
is
well.
Not,
just
not
in
about...
perpetuity that the Chiefs make it to the AFC Championship game. But the other part is, we talked about this a little bit in the first hour of the show. Let's bring it back at the end. Which is, I think casual fans, or if you don't have a rooting interest, will start wanting to see history as the week goes on.
I'm looking up, last year's Super Bowl was the most watched ever. I think that might just be, because of streaming and everything, I don't know if every year is not going to be the most watched.
That one went to overtime.
Yeah, no, I think that now the way they incorporate it, anyway, regardless, it's going to have a lot of eyeballs.
You think? Joseph is in Rochester. Joseph, how you feeling, dude?
Maggie, I thought we were going to get that game right at the end, girl. I really did.
Me too, but, you know, the football gods had something else in store.
So, Maggie, I just want to run this by and see what you think.
Okay.
So let's pretend you're the general manager of the Bills, and I'm the general manager of the Vikings, and I give you a call, and I say, I'll give you Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy for Josh Allen. What do you think?
I'm hanging up the phone.
Wait, who do you
what?
Get?
Wait,
J.J. McCarthy,
I'm the
and who?
Bills, and I'm trading Josh Allen for Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson? No, J.J. McCarthy.
No, and for J.J. McCarthy.
Joe, I mean, I know we're all taking the loss really hard here, man, but you got to stay off the sauce, pal. That's a crazy, crazy trade.
All right. Well, we'll get Josh Allen as your ring bearer for the wedding here.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's Bye-bye. For EJ's wedding. I've been married for a decade.
He didn't Gosh, argue with you. He didn't argue with you when you told him to stay off the sauce. He's like, fair. Bills fan, yeah.
PBRs,
so.
Baby. PBRs.
Darnold and McCarthy?
McCarthy. No, did he say Darnold and McCarthy? McCarthy and Jefferson?
No, he said Darnold and J.J. McCarthy.
Why would you want
Why
both
would I want both of those guys?
Trying to dump Minnesota's problems onto you.
Josh Allen is untradeable.
Yeah, you're not going to upgrade from Josh Allen.
No, you know how Bill Parcells apparently told Aaron Glenn everyone's got a price?
What if you could
this is not true.
What if you could pry Tyreek Hill away from the Dolphins?
I don't know.
What if I'm trying to find some receiver for you? I think you're going to have to trade for one.
By the way, I think the Devontae Dolphins Adams? Would just let him go. Maybe not. I don't know. Devontae Adams? I don't know. Today's not the day for that. But E.J. Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogut, Andrew Kaplan. Listen, congratulations, Perloff. Your Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
I had a big part in it. You're welcome.
And congrats to the Chiefs fans as well. Weedos and coffee drinkers. We'll see you tomorrow.